ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت ويقولون للذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا.
Have you not seen those to whom a portion of the book was given? They believe in baseless superstitions, and taghut, false deities, and say about the unbelievers that they are better guided than those who believe. They believe in baseless superstitions. Jibt signifies a thing devoid of any true basis and bereft of all usefulness. In Islamic terminology, the various forms of sorcery, divination, and soothsaying, in short, all superstitions, are termed jibt. It is reported in a tradition that to divine things from the cries of animals or the traces of animals' paws or the flight of birds constitutes jibt. Thus, jibt may be roughly translated as superstitions, and taghut, false deities. For explanation, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, Surah 2, NN 286 and 288. And say about the unbelievers that they are better guided than those who believe. The obstinacy of the Jewish religious scholars had reached such a point that they brazenly declared the followers of Muhammad, peace be upon him, to be in greater error than even the polytheists of Arabia. This was despite the fact that they knew that the Muslims stood for absolute monotheism, while their opponents believed in that undisguised polytheism which has been so vehemently denounced throughout the Bible.
أولئك الذين لعنهم الله ومن يلعن الله فلن تجد له نصيرا.
Such are the ones whom Allah has cursed, and he whom Allah curses has none to come to his help.
أَمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُلْكِ فَإِذَا لَا يُؤْتُونَ النَّاسَ نَقِيرًا.
Have they any share in the dominion of Allah? Had that been so, they would never have been granted people even as much as a speck on a date stone. They would never have been granted people even as much as a speck on a date stone. The Jews, who had judged the Muslims to be in error, are asked if they had some share in God's authority, which entitles them to judge who is rightly guided and who is not. If the Jews really had any share in that authority, no one would receive so much as a penny from them, for their hearts are too small to even acknowledge the truth, let alone credit others with righteousness and goodness. This verse can also be understood somewhat differently so as to pose the following questions to the Jews. Is it a matter of your possessing some dominion which you are reluctant to share with others? Obviously, the question was merely one of acknowledging the truth, and they were too grudging to credit others with it.
أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا.
Do they envy others for the bounty that Allah has bestowed upon them? Let them bear in mind that we bestowed upon the house of Abraham, peace be upon him, the book and wisdom, and we bestowed upon them a mighty dominion. Do they envy others for the bounty that Allah has bestowed upon them? By implication, this query accurately portrays the state of mind of the Jews. They saw the Muslims being endowed with the grace and reward of God, which they, notwithstanding their own unworthiness, had expected to fall to their share, by virtue of the advent of a great prophet among the Ummis of Arabia. A spiritual, moral, and intellectual revolution had taken place, which totally changed their practical life, and ultimately led them to greatness and glory. It is this which aroused their spite and envy, and which was reflected in their unjustifiable remarks about the Muslims.
And we bestowed upon them a mighty dominion.
This mighty dominion refers to the position of world leadership and authority which a people attain by virtue of receiving the knowledge in the Book of God and acting according to its dictates.
فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا
Whereupon some of them believed, and others turned away. Those who turn away, hell suffices for a blaze. Whereupon some of them believed, and others turned away. This is in response to the malicious remarks of the Israelites. What is being said is that they had no reason to feel jealous, since both the Israelites and Ishmaelites were offspring of the same Abraham. Now the leadership of the world had been promised only to those children of Abraham who followed the book and wisdom revealed by God. The book and wisdom had been sent down earlier to the Israelites, and to their discredit they had turned away from them. The same book and wisdom had now been made available to the Ishmaelites, and they had decided to greet it with faith and gratitude.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا
Surely, we shall cast those who reject our signs into the fire, and as often as their skins are burnt out, we shall give them other skins in exchange that they may fully taste the chastisement. Surely, Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سندخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا لهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَلِيلًا
And those who believe and do good deeds, we shall cause them to enter the gardens beneath which rivers flow. There they shall abide forever. There they shall have spouses purified, and there we shall cause them to enter a shelter with plenteous shade.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُم بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُم بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا
Allah commands you to deliver trusts to those worthy of them, and when you judge between people, judge with justice. Excellent is the admonition Allah gives you. Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing, and when you judge between people, judge with justice. Here the Muslims are forewarned against the evils which had afflicted the Israelites. One of the fundamental mistakes committed by the Israelites was that in the time of their degeneration, they had handed over positions of trust, for instance, religious and political leadership, to incompetent, mean, immoral, dishonest, and corrupt people. The result was that corruption spread throughout the nation. The Muslims are directed to take heed of this and to entrust positions of responsibility only to those who are capable of shouldering the burdens of such positions. The other major weakness of the Israelites was that they completely lost their sense of justice. In their pursuit of either personal or national interests, honesty and good faith were often sacrificed. The Muslims in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, were themselves subjected to gross injustice at their hands. On the one side were the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his followers, to whose purity of life and conduct the Jews were themselves witnesses. On the other side were those who worshipped idols, buried their daughters alive, married their stepmothers, and circumambulated the Kaaba naked. Despite this, the so-called people of the book felt no shame in declaring that the latter were closer to righteousness than the Muslims. After informing the Muslims of the iniquity of the Jews, God now warns them against committing similar injustices. They should rather declare what is right in the face of friend and foe alike and judge between people with equity, justice.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا
Believers, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those from among you who are invested with authority. And then you were to dispute among yourselves about anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger. If you indeed believe in Allah and the last day, that is better and more commendable in the end. And then if you were to dispute among yourselves about anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger. This verse is the cornerstone of the entire religious, social, and political structure of Islam, and the very first clause of the constitution of an Islamic state. It lays down the following principles as permanent guidelines. 1. In the Islamic order of life, God alone is the focus of loyalty and obedience. A Muslim is the servant of God before anything else, and obedience and loyalty to God constitute the center and axis of both the individual and collective life of a Muslim. Other claims to loyalty and obedience are acceptable only insofar as they remain secondary and subservient and do not compete with those owed to God. All loyalties which may tend to challenge the primacy of man's loyalty to God must be rejected. This has been expressed by the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the following words. There may be no obedience to any creature in disobedience to the Creator. 2. Another basic principle of the Islamic order of life is obedience to the Prophet, peace be upon him. No prophet, of course, is entitled to obedience in his own right. Obedience to prophets, however, is the only practical way of obeying God, since they are the only authentic means by which he communicates his injunctions and ordinances to men. Hence, we can obey God only if we obey a prophet. Independent obedience to God is not acceptable, and to turn one's back on the prophets amounts to rebellion against God. The following tradition from the Prophet, peace be upon him, explains this. Whoever obeyed me indeed obeyed God, and whoever disobeyed me indeed disobeyed God. We shall see this explained in more detail a little further on in the Quran. 3. In the Islamic order of life, Muslims are further required to obey fellow Muslims in authority. This obedience follows and is subordinate to obedience to God and the Prophet, peace be upon him. Those invested with authority, ulu al-amr, include all those entrusted with directing Muslims in matters of common concern. Hence, persons invested with authority include the intellectual and political leaders of the community, as well as administrative officials, judges of the courts, tribal chiefs, and regional representatives. In all these capacities, those invested with authority are entitled to obedience, and it is improper for Muslims to cause dislocation in their collective life by engaging in strife and conflict with them. This obedience is contingent, however, on two conditions. First, that these men should be believers, and second, that they should themselves be obedient to God and the Prophet, peace be upon him. These two conditions are not only clearly mentioned in this verse, they have also been elucidated at length by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and can be found in the hadith. Let us consider, for example, the following traditions. A Muslim is obliged to heed and to obey an order whether he likes it or not, as long as he is not ordered to carry out an act of disobedience to God, ma'siyah. When ordered to carry out an act of disobedience to God, he need neither heed nor obey. There is no obedience in sin. Obedience is only in what is good, ma'ruf. There will be rulers over you, some of whose actions you will consider good and others abominable. Who even disapproves of their abominable acts will be acquitted of all blame. And whoever resents them, he too will remain secure from all blame. Not so one who approves and follows them in their abominable acts. They, for instance, the companions, asked, "Should we not fight against them?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "No, not as long as they continue to pray." This means that their abandonment of prayer will be a clear sign of their having forsaken obedience to God and the Prophet, peace be upon him. Thereafter, it becomes proper to fight against them. In another tradition, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, "Your worst leaders are those whom you hate and who hate you, whom you curse and who curse you. We asked, O Messenger of God, should we not rise against them?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "No, not as long as they establish prayer among you." In this tradition, the position is further clarified. The earlier tradition could have created the impression that it was not permissible to revolt against rulers as long as they observed their prayers privately. But the latter tradition makes it clear that what is really meant by praying is the establishment of the system of congregational prayers in the collective life of Muslims. This means that it is by no means sufficient that the rulers merely continue observing their prayers. It is also necessary that the system run by them should at least be concerned with the establishment of prayer. This concern with prayer is a definite indication that a government is essentially an Islamic one. But if no concern for establishing prayer is noticed, it shows that the government has drifted far away from Islam, making it permissible to overthrow it. The same principle is also enunciated by the Prophet, peace be upon him, in another tradition, in which the narrator says, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, also made us pledge not to rise against our rulers unless we see them involved in open disbelief, so that we have definite evidence against them to lay before God." 4. In an Islamic order, the injunctions of God and the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, constitute the basic law and paramount authority in all matters. Whenever there is any dispute among Muslims or between the rulers and the ruled, the matter should be referred to the Quran and the Sunnah, and all concerned should accept with sincerity whatever judgment results. In fact, willingness to take the Book of God and the Sunnah of His Messenger as the common point of reference and to treat the judgment of the Quran and the Sunnah as the last word on all matters is a central characteristic which distinguishes an Islamic system from un-Islamic ones. Some people question the principle that we should refer everything to the Book of God and the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him. They wonder how we can possibly do so when there are numerous practical questions involved. For example, rules and regulations relating to municipal administration, the management of railways and postal services, and so on, which are not treated at all in these sources. This doubt arises, however, from a misapprehension about Islam. The basic difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is that whereas the latter feels free to do as he wishes, the basic characteristic of a Muslim is that he always looks to God and to his Prophet for guidance. And where such guidance is available, a Muslim is bound by it. On the other hand, it is also quite important to remember that when no specific guidance is available, a Muslim feels free to exercise his discretion because the silence of the law indicates that God Himself has deliberately granted man the freedom to make his decision. If you indeed believe in Allah and the Last Day, that is better and more commendable in the end. Since the Quran is not merely a legal code but also seeks to instruct, educate, admonish, and exhort, the earlier sentence which enunciates a legal principle is followed by another which explains its underlying purpose and wisdom. Two things are laid down. First, that faithful adherence to the above four principles is a necessary requirement of faith. Anyone who claims to be a Muslim and yet disregards the principles of Islam involves himself in gross self-contradiction. Second, the well-being of Muslims lies in basing their lives on those principles. This alone can keep them on the straight path in this life and will lead to their salvation in the next. It is significant that this admonition follows immediately after the section which embodies comments about the moral and religious condition of the Jews. Thus, the Muslims were subtly directed to draw a lesson from the depths to which the Jews had sunk, as a result of their deviation from the fundamental principles of true faith just mentioned. Any community that turns its back upon the Book of God and the guidance of His prophets, that willingly follows rulers and leaders who are heedless of God and His prophets, and that obeys its religious and political authorities blindly without seeking authority for their actions either in the Book of God or in the practice of the prophets, will inevitably fall into the same evil and corruption as the Israelites.